Welcome. Welcome to the Delling Podge with me, James Dellingpole. And I know I always say I'm excited about this week's special guest. This week's special guest is a surprise. I don't know much about Donny Wasman. Welcome, Donny. A very persistent character called Perry, I think, was contacting me saying,
you've got to get
Donny on the show. He's just great. And we exchanged messages and you told me that you'd spent 10 years doing private security in Iraq, which I thought sounds interesting.
Yeah. I did the 10 and a half, but I guess it's almost 20 years doing the bodyguard stuff, you know. Ooh. But it's been an experience.
Well, it sounds quite. Let's go there first before we move on to the really deep stuff about what's happening in the world. I mean, I'm just intrigued. What was it like being a? How dangerous was it being a security guard in Iraq?
I don't want to sound off because that's not my style. But to say it wasn't dangerous would be utter bullshit. So yeah, it was what I like to phrase as batshit crazy. It really, really was when they liberated or whatever bullshit phrase they came out of at the time, the reconstruction, the weapons of mass destruction, more lies, basically. I didn't know at the time first arrived, but it was lies, you know. It was literally nuts. They disbanded everything when we arrived. There was no infrastructure, no like police service, no army really to go by. So it was just a complete takeover. And I guess private security were utilized in that respect. So it was a little bit strange. It was like the Wild West. Not that I've ever been to the Wild West, and I don't quite believe history anyway. But, you know, it was insane, mate. It was literally nuts. So, yeah, you were the law.
Yeah.
And armed to the teeth. And it was an unfortunate environment for some individuals because you got, with the background from the military and that, you've got all types of personalities, and that includes psychopaths. So you had immunity from prosecution for many a year. So there was many an incident with Blackwater, etc. You know, just being a bit trigger happy. So it was nuts.
Oh, yeah, no, I can imagine that. And there were incidents, weren't there? I remember that one incident where, like, private security operators were captured and kind of stripped and killed and.
Ooh.
Do you know?
Yeah, there were quite a few like that actually. Yeah, it was. There was one in the one that springs to mind the most for me because it was, I guess I was closest to it. It was because it was involved with our company. It was in 2004. It wasn't that big a deal. We were driving around in what we call soft skin vehicles to your regular people. That's just a car or whatever. It's a 4x4 without the armor plating and stuff. So, yeah, and it was sort of friendly at first because I guess the people bought the narrative that they were being liberated from a dictator. So, but then after a few months, you know, this one of our call signs just got almost all of them wiped out. We lost about 4 clients, maybe 4 security. It was a moment where you got to look yourself in the eye in the mirror and see if you really want to be there still, you know. So, yeah, there was quite a few things. And
what you mean, the people you were guarding got taken out or what? How did it?
Yeah. They got ambushed and just shot up, and some of them managed to peel away. And I think they might have saved one or two of the clients, but. Yeah, a couple bit the dust and some of the guys got it as well, you know. And yeah, it was a moment. I'd only been there a month or so. And I had to, one of those times where you have to look yourself in the eye in the mirror, you know, because it was a moment. It was like, oh, do I really want to be here? And then it was like, hang on a minute, what did I expect? You know, and I came here fully expecting that to be the case. So, yeah.
Yes, I think you would rather expect sort of violence and gunfights and things in that situation. Do you come from a military background?
I was, yeah, 21 years ago, something like that. I guess I did less, under 5 years in the infantry. It wasn't too long. Some business, so I was a company director selling computer components with some friends and stuff. But yeah, I've been around the block, I guess, but it wasn't long before. My bum isn't renowned for an office seat, so.
No.
I went back to Kosovo and then ended up in Iraq.
You were in the regular army.
Yeah, I was in the British Army, in the infantry, yeah.
And do you, one of my concerns about, you know, the many things that are happening to the world and to our culture, I mean, there's this weird sort of wokeification of the British Army, isn't there? Have you noticed this? Where everything
I haven't kept up, but there's certainly a wokeification across the board, isn't there? It's just I don't know. It's a devolution, basically, isn't it? We're devolving as a species, encouraged by the media that's controlled by the people that we're probably going to talk about in the next whatever hour.
Well,
or so.
I know. I'm already sensing. Although I give, you know, my guests their head, and we have conversations rather than interviews. I can already sense there's a lot of kind of impatience and anger and on your part, which I can understand. I think you're pissed off.
Be specific. I don't know. You might be right.
You're pissed off. Yeah, you're pissed off with the world, and you're very. I mean, I think you're probably quite far down the rabbit hole, but I think the challenge here will be to, you know, there's loads of people down the rabbit hole, and they're fine. I mean, they're kind of where you are, but the people we've got to win over are the people who kind of think that the world is, well, people
they
who
smell
are,
a rat.
I'm talking about people who are not even there. Most people think,
oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. You've got to remember that. Most people believe that, for example, the two Gulf Wars, the first and second Gulf Wars were essentially about freeing Iraq from a dictator. You know, that they're fully on board with the notion that 9/11 wasn't a conspiracy or anything, that Kennedy was. So one has to be. I'm curious as to, you're obviously deep down the rabbit hole. What was the moment for you when you realized that things were not as we were brought up to believe?
Yeah, well, going off of what you just said, I certainly empathize with people that bought the 9/11 conspiracy, 9/11 official narrative, which is the biggest conspiracy load of bollocks ever. But yeah, because I bought it up until about 2010. I was in the midst of Iraq, just doing my job. I thought we were doing a reconstruction effort where the evidence, the empirical evidence before me wasn't justifying that. But, you know, you put it down to incompetence, much like we do now. And the moment for me that really changed it is a friend of mine is older. He was in my team, actually. He was way older than me, but I was the team leader. But he's decided I had an open mind and I had questions. He said, you might enjoy this movie Zeitgeist. And I was like, oh, okay, really? I'd never heard of it. You may have done, there's three parts to it. But I went chasing him that evening with my memory stick. I'm like, give me that movie. And I watched it and it sort of blew the lid on the 9/11. And I saw the blatant man-made cuts in the steel beams at the bottom. And I was like, whoa, hang on. And it blew the lid on the monetary system and et cetera, with religion to some extent. And I'd always smelt a rat since I was a kid, James. You know, I always did. I kind of never bought into politics. I just said to my mum at a very early age, I was like 12 or 13, it's just a different color rosette. You know, I don't see how much difference it makes. What's the point? You know, and I watched that and I literally almost overnight, though not quite, I stopped watching series and being bothered about football or anything else. And I got heavily involved with looking into economics, largely off the back of a monetary historian, amongst other things, called Mike Maloney. And he's done many great things I can mention, but a quote of his at the time, I think he attributes to Robert Kiyosaki, though I'm not 100%. And he was like, the best investment you can make is in your own financial education. And I took that very seriously. There's moments in your life where you pause the video, isn't there? And I was like, what did you just say? Back, well, and I was like, I just knew it was correct. I absolutely knew it was correct. So I went heavily into economics and central banking and ways to protect my family. I admit initially it wasn't selfless. It was selfish. I just wanted to protect my family to what I perceived as an obvious next economic crash coming because they engineer them all. I didn't quite know that at the time, but they do. So I was like, okay, I've got to protect my family here. So I ended up doing way longer tours than I should have done. But a divorce was off the back of that, though not just off the back of the tours. It was I was waking up and my ex-partner really wasn't, and she still is in the same position now. You know, I'm batshit crazy or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, that was the moment. I really delved down. I wanted to know more. I don't like lies. I don't like subterfuge. I don't like two-faced people. and I like the truth. So when I find out what a lie is, find out there's a lie, I hanker for the truth and I go after it. And consequently, I've learned quite a bit in the last 10 years, not least of which the fact that central banks run the world. And that's the fact. I think a fact that a penny that needs to drop massively with people so they can at least contemplate the bigger picture. Otherwise, it just seems like crazy conspiracy theory. And I understand the truth is so fantastical that to give it any time of day for you, the person that you referenced earlier that might not be anywhere down the rabbit hole, hasn't even seen the rabbit hole. You know, once the penny drops that these banks are private businesses, and I can explain it real quick, you know, then everything becomes plausible.
Okay, well, go on then. I imagine I'm your average punter, and I've never heard this crazy theory that central banks run the world. Explain why I'm wrong.
Okay. Well, not that you're wrong. This you're unaware, perhaps. Well, this is. Okay. Let's take our country for an example. The UK. You've got a Bank of England. Most people are completely unaware that that bank is a private corporation. It's a private business. It's got shareholders with names and addresses. Yet, growing up, myself included, we're told, oh, it's our bank. We own it. Or there's some kind of grey area. Or the waters are muddy, that it's somehow something to do with government and it's there for our protection, just like government. Right? But that's a private business. And they create money, what we call money, out of nothing. It's really its currency. And they just tap for them to create $1 trillion, they press 1 and 12 zeros, press enter, it goes on the national debt, and mugs like the people that don't understand the scam pay it back, plus interest. You know, so this is an ongoing cycle of corruption. And the way I like to put it, that's just one example of our country. All central banks throughout the world, and I don't care which country you go to, the Federal Reserve, obviously, private bank, I don't care if it's Israel, China, or even Iran. The central bank structure, it's owned and controlled by the same criminal cartel. And through the country's central banks, or the ECB, you've got that whole one block because they centralize power continuously. It's the same cartel through the International Monetary Fund all the way to the Bank of International Settlements and the World Bank. The same criminal cartel, the same mafia that are basically running the world. They orchestrate things through the background. They pull the strings. Unfortunately, most people don't know this. They own governments. They own the media. They own Silicon Valley. They own the front men that they put up and propagate as the gurus, the Elon Musk, the Jeff Bezos, the Bill Gates. They're the bag men, unbelievably so, because they allow them to become unconscionably rich. But that's the central banking structure. And once that penny drops, that they're really in charge of everything because they own the same compartmentalized pyramidal structure. It's like the Russian doll syndrome. You can apply it to the world, or then you can apply it to countries, or you can apply it to corporations. And it still filters down all the way through, but they control the top. They hold the purse strings, if you like, and they hold the strings, if you like, and they orchestrate everything that goes on within the world. But because most people don't understand banking, because we're not taught anything about it, literally, even if you do an economics degree, and I've chatted to them in my car, and I've had one, I quote him, I don't think I learned anything in 3 years. And I was just like, he's asking me why I know so much about economics. It's because I'm autodidactic. I didn't go that route, never had a formal education. You know, I taught myself or from experts using the internet when it was a lot more free. When I started this journey 10, 11 years ago, you got genuine suggestions. You know, if I watched James Dellenpole talk about something, it would say, oh, you might enjoy this. And right. It was a lot more organic, whereas now everything's suppressed and buried, isn't it? So does that make sense?
Yes, no, it does. It absolutely does. What I've noticed in talking to people who aren't of our persuasion is they get put off when you start using words like banksters, or when you say that this is a criminal conspiracy, because they start thinking, well, who are these people? Why haven't we heard of them?
To assume that someone would have let them know if it was the case. Or the media would have said, you know, so I get you. They just, they recoil, don't they? They recoil.
They just think you're mad. Do you have any idea who these people are? I mean,
only for the names that get dropped from, like, if you G. Edward Griffin's and David Icke's and the people that have done the real research, the proper investigative journalists, they always talk about the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and the Warburgs and the Schiffs and the Habsburgs in Germany, the Windsors in our own country. I mean, the fact that her picture's on the money kind of gives the game away a little bit. She must at least have some knowledge of how this the game works, how they control the system through the issuance of its currency, really, but we'll call it money for the sake of this conversation.
Right. Oh. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I see that. So what? Sorry, I've got just that was my way coming back. What were we talking about?
Central banking and its control and issuance of currency, and how that's the basically the head of the snake on the whole control system.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I see that. I was until really quite recently a big fan of the royal family, but by your lights, they're wrongs. They're part of the problem.
They're completely involved. Yeah, the chances that they are ignorant of the bigger picture are practically zero. I mean, they've got to be zero. These families, these structures, these power structures go back throughout history, which I call his story, because it's blatantly a lie if you do any kind of research. If you look on world maps, the whole of Russia and China and Eurasia used to be called Grand Tartaria. There was no sign of Rome. You know, the whole thing is a sham in my eyes. And I don't know if we could share screens, I might have to do this verbally, but yeah, the chances that they don't know any of this are absolutely zero for me. You know, it's a wonderful propaganda. We've seen the power of the media just recently in this last year or so. They can tell us there's a global pandemic, not us, but, you know, they can say there's a pandemic and anyone will believe it. You know, so
that's up. Yes.
Yeah, you know, both of the Queen's sons are associated with paedophiles. I mean, come on, Prince Charles is best mates with Jimmy Savile. You got Prince Andrew, he may as well have confessed in that interview. It was such a road crash. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen, there was even a clip of a little boy escaping from a Buckingham Palace window down some like cartoon knotted sheets. He was naked except for a pair of boots. Whether you can still find it on YouTube, I don't know. But he fell probably to his death. It just happened some tourists were filming the palace when he was trying to escape. You know, the chances that these people don't know is ridiculous. And I think, quite frankly, it's time we have to stare this down, because what's going on, they've spelled it out, the writing's on the World Economic Forum, Great Reset, you'll own nothing, social credit system. They're telling us where it's going to go. So my aim is to show people just how they control this world, because without that knowledge, it all seems too fantastical. It's in the never, never. But I think we're in the 11th hour, quite frankly, James, and it's time people woke up and we face this like adults. We literally have to face this. It's time to stop the conspiracy theory thing as if it's some kind of mental disorder. It's crazy. It's literally nuts.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on the general principles. The question is, what do we do? I mean, what do you think we should do?
I think knowledge is power, and the fact ignorance is not. And I don't care what the situation is in the collective, in your individual life, in your own life, in whatever life. If you don't know what the problem is, sure as shit, you're not going to find the solution. So my game is, I've tried to arm myself with the knowledge of what I perceive is how the central banking system works. And I try and articulate it as briefly and succinctly and as understandably as possible. So my 21-year-old infantry jarhead self could actually understand the concepts. And how how the nuts and bolts and the moving parts work. That is the first thing. Because if you don't know the problem, you ain't going to get the solution, mate. You're going to chase political ends. And like I say, these banks own the governments. Our own government's in debt of more than £2 trillion to the private business, which is the Bank of England, of which apparently there's a law that you're not even allowed to know who the shareholders are. Coincidence? I doubt it. You know, and this criminal cartel, they operate all around the world. Like I said earlier on, I touched upon the compartmentalized pyramidal structure. Same one, the one I described in England goes up to this people. Whatever country you go to, it's the same, then encompass the same level of analysis on the whole world, and you get the bigger picture of how they control everything.
Yes.
For me, that's the first thing we need to do is let the penny drop, because there are people in positions of influence that would not let this happen if they only knew what was going on, but they don't. They read the paper, they watch the TV, and they get their guidance from our you know, what is it? The school system teaches us to appeal to authority. And that's what people do. They go, oh, economics. Oh, you're an economist. but he's been taught by the system just to fit in as a cog in the machine, just to slot in. They're not taught about who owns the banks. They're not taught about the moving parts. They're not taught about how corrupt it is and how they've been controlling history through the monetary system. I mean, it's sort of common knowledge that the banks funded both sides in World War One and Two. So, you know, you go to the Vietnam War off a false flag or the Gulf of Tonkin incident, sorry. You know, all of these things have been orchestrated by these people. I think it was one of the Rothschild's mums or something that said, if my sons didn't want wars, there'd be no wars. So it's time that I'm not making this up, you know, it's time these people that shy away from this because they don't want to be associated with a so-called conspiracy theorist, whatever that means, because I am not into theories. Nothing I've said is theoretical. If it is, then give me the facts about who owns the banks and how the system works, because no one does. There's no one
else. Yes, that's true. And what do you find that your words are falling on fertile ground, or do you think most people think you're just an absolute bloody nutcase?
Not, of course not. Well, my channel, YouTube, I flagged myself early, so I've been heavily suppressed on that. I can't even get any subs. If I ever do get any, they get shaved off. You know, they shave them off real quick over time. And I think I went out on a limb. It was just before the start of this scamdemic. I was just fed up enough to do, I think I did a video on central banking just to get the ball rolling. Mm-hmm. And before you knew it, in two or three videos, I was so shadow banned that, for example, if you said, I was watching one of your videos, you said, oh, any suggestions? I'd be like, oh, I'll try and touch base with James. And I was like, no likes, no comments, nothing. So my partner would look in on her laptop in her account and try and find my comment, and it was gone. It just wasn't there. I could see it on my laptop, but that's as far as it went. So that seems to have happened like from the off. So when I talk to people with an open mind, James, yes, there's fertile ground. But when it comes to the channels and stuff, I'm not getting much traction because I got noticed real early. I really did. If that's true, that adage, if that's the right word, that you take the most flack when you're over the target. I mean, I don't even get in the flack. They just made sure I didn't get heard by anybody.
No, well, it is.
You know, a year or so, 500 odd subs.
It is quite hard to break into this this market. And you're right, we do get a hell of a lot of censorship. So what's the last 18 months been like for you? Where do you live? I mean, which part of the country roughly? Do you live in a town or in the country?
I'm down in Brighton.
Oh, lovely. so you're surrounded. I mean, I've got a few friends in Brighton, but it's clear that they are in enemy territory. I mean, I can't imagine anywhere which is more kind of, well, okay, the West Country maybe, anywhere which is more brainwashed and susceptible to government kind of propaganda than the people of Brighton.
Yes and no, largely. Yeah, you've got the more likely to emigrate here, bedwetting snowflakes. You know, it's almost like a uniform as well. But you've also got a very open-minded society as well. People that want to stay out of your business and don't like you being in there. So they're also more open to the idea of listening. You know, it's a very accepting environment. I don't class it as England, quite frankly. I've never been a huge fan of England. Sorry for all the people who might hate me for that. But I love Brighton. You know, Brighton is a very open, accepting society. So on that front, but irrespective of the area that you're in, it all comes down to whether people can still think for themselves. Because most people just repeat a mantra that they've heard because of that appeal to authority. So you talk about anything and they'll just hit you with, oh, the flu's got away because we've been wearing masks. It's like, you know, it's like, it's crazy. So it's a mixed bag, mate. It really is. I know that I'm expected to be a Green Party voting vegan, that is appalled by everything. But yeah, it couldn't be further from the truth for me.
Yes. Well, no, I you don't look like a Green Party voting have you noticed, by the way, that the veganism is very much part of all that? This massive promotion.
Oh, it's an absolute part of the agenda. And great. I wanted to bring this up, actually, James, so I will, as you just led me into it. It's one of the things that's being missed for me. I mean, sperm counts are plummeting, and the large majority of the blame is getting put onto electromagnetic radiation, cell phones, etc. There's a big one being missed for me, and that's I've been a carnivore for 2 years. All my injuries disappeared. And what have they demonized the most over the years? And in my experience from looking back, they are, first of all, they adulterize something like pasteurize it, and then they synthesize it like fake vegan butter, etc. The way to be healthy is a carnivorous diet. And if you look on a website called meatrx.com, you'll see what for me is an experiment conducted by people with empirical evidence that then becomes scientific for me. But unfortunately, most people believe that it needs to come from an institution with some funding from Big Pharma with a guy in a white coat. And what transpires is you need cholesterol from animal products as the precursor to every hormone in your body. And now we've got a situation where people are being encouraged to eat fake foods, even told that they are, in fact, healthy for them. You know, you've got everybody knows that processed foods are unhealthy. But apparently, if you process it from plant-based materials and package it up as vegan, it's the best thing since sliced bread. It's still processed, chemical-laced shite, unfortunately. And what I've discovered is that we're not meant to eat plants. We have a carnivore's digestive tract. Ruminant animals eat plants and plant material. They have four chambers in the stomach. The first one is a rumen. That's where the plant matter goes through a microbial fermentation process. We can't do that. So we're being encouraged to eat foods that are actually detrimental to our health. And these vegetables, etc. I know it sounds crazy. I really do. Because when I first heard it, I tried to keep a poker face. And it was a friend of mine that told me. And it took me a year to try it. I was looking at him thinking, you are batshit crazy. But, you know, sorry, no disrespect, Dom, originsofvitality.com. You know, he's doing wonderful things for people. But I know how crazy it is, but that's the program. We've all been programmed. And yeah, veganism is what is really being missed, because I can't tell the difference between boys and girls anymore sometimes, James. And that was not the case not that long ago. It really, really wasn't. I looked sometimes, and I lived in Thailand. I've lived in the Philippines. I could spot a ladyboy from a K away. You know, I didn't care how good she's supposed to look or he. And now I look at kids and I'm like, I don't know. I honestly don't know what sex that is. But if you're not getting the cholesterol to produce the hormones, you're not even going through puberty, quite frankly. And I'll hold up a poster child for that is Greta Thunberg. She's 18 going on about 11, isn't she? And she's the poster child for this way of eating. And who's promoting it? Bill Gates. And who owns the most farmland now? Bill Gates. This is a massive threat that's being missed. And the life I've had, James, I've had to spend my whole life assessing threats. So now I've become quite, I do my research, basically. And based on what I perceive as my factual knowledge of how the central banking system, et cetera, works, I'm therefore more able to assess the threat on a more broader perspective. And it's being massively missed out.
Yeah.
Our kids are being poisoned, mate, literally poisoned. They're not able to even... Their bodies aren't even able to grow correctly anymore. And it's very visible in the streets. I see most people have got absolute black eyes now, haven't they? They've got these panda eyes, gray skin, and the kids with arthritis and stuff. I see posters on bus stops advertising for teenage cancer. I mean, come on. We were old enough to remember that there's no one, hardly anyone was fat in the 70s, James. Yeah, you know what I mean?
That's
teenage cancer, arthritis, et cetera. And if you look at the food pyramid over the decades, it used to be meat and animal products at the top, and now it's right at the bottom. And we're told to eat plants and grains and stuff, and we can't digest plants and grains because we're not a ruminant animal. And therefore, the defense mechanisms that these plants and et cetera have in nature end up reacting in our own system. And people are bloated and gassy, and they've got skin issues and whatever else. I know this is just me speaking. MeatRx.com with Dr. Sean Baker, before and after pictures, stories dripping in integrity. I mean, this is what we're up against. They haven't missed a trick, mate. They really, really haven't missed a trick. And I wish I was wrong, because I don't want to spend my life sounding crazy to the majority of people, but I will, because this is what I perceive as the truth. And we're really up against it.
I've just realized why you should have worn headphones, because it's not for you. I'm now hearing at the other end, you're delayed. Delayed. But I don't know.
I might have to lean on my beautiful assistant to see if we've got some headphones in.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously one's attractiveness is reduced slightly, but I'm think at our age, it doesn't really matter that much.
Oh, this beautiful assistant, not me. Is it the first one, Ben?
I don't know.
Okay. I forgot you, James.
Yeah. So I'm quite interested in how so the meat cured your wounds, did it? It actually.
Sorry, say that again. The headphones didn't work, and I missed the whole start of that question.
Tell me about your meat diet, the magical healing effects of it.
Well, on a personal level,
yeah. Because the thing is, it seems to make sense to me that you tell me about your personal experiences, because otherwise, you know, you're just synthesizing stuff that lots of us could have read on the internet, you know, which is great. But I'm interested in you and how your experience bears on the bigger picture. So I'm curious about your meat journey, for example.
Okay, I'll tell you a personal one, but just to reference again where everyone else, because to me, MeatRx has got hundreds, if not thousands, of people that have done the same thing. People seem to consider science to come from institutions. Now, when does anecdotal become empirical, become scientific? Now, if you go on there and see all of theirs, and you'll see all the health ailments that they got rid of, and all they come off the medication, they become super healthy. Even their eyes change color, James. It's fascinating. I'd advise anyone to go on there to take a look. But from my own perspective, it was a couple of years ago now, my ego kicked in because my knees were horrendous. The growth hormone that I've been injecting for 13 years every other day to try and say, yeah, keep my limbs and stuff young. I've been 13 years of human growth hormone injections just to stay mobile for the job I was doing. It wasn't really working anymore. I wasn't able to do my cardio. So in martial arts, I was getting tagged in sparring, and I was like, I've had enough of this. It had been a year since my mate Dominic Rapson, Origins of Vitality, told me about what he was doing, and I just thought, you know what? And I watched Sean Baker on the Joe Rogan podcast, and Dr. Sean Baker, who actually runs the MeatRx website.
Yeah.
And he talked about it in such glowing terms that I thought, you know what? I'm just going to give this a go. I've got to give it a go, because the ego wasn't liking 20-odd-year-olds punching me in the face when I'm gassing out and I can't even defend myself. So, yeah, I tried it. Within a week, all my inflammation was gone. Literally, my knee pain was gone. I dropped an inch on my waist size. I'd always been a 32. I was suddenly a 31. My dark circles were gone from under my eyes. My nails have never split once since, and I'd spent 43 years with my nails split in. I just had to pick something up.
What are you eating now?
Meat and animal products. So, you know, bacon, eggs, sausage, cheese, steak pretty much every night. I don't really touch any plants. If I have any carbs, my partner makes sourdough bread. So I might eat some sourdough bread because it's fermented before it's cooked. So any problems with the grains.
So that's allowed, is it?
I allow it. I'm not like fanatical. Like, I don't want to become the opposite of a vegan where get away from me. You're not meat. You know, if I fancy it, I'll eat it. But I'll also eat the real butter, the unpasteurized stuff that now needs a passport. And apparently it's called French butter. But, you know, before it was pasteurized, it's got all the nutrients in, the fat-soluble vitamins, etc. And as far as I know, though, I'm not 100% on this. The reason for pasteurization was a guy called Louis Pasteur.
Yeah.
And he admitted on his deathbed he was actually incorrect. He was wrong. It was never meant to happen. I should have done it myself, so I'd be a bit more confident. But I've heard it many, many times. First of all, this system adulterate the food supply, then they synthesize it. And now we've got to the point where we can get our milk from nuts. Are you sure? It's a nut. So, and if you look at the ingredients of almond milk or whatever, it's 1% almond. Not that an almond's got any bloody milk anyway, but that's 99% chemical shitstorm. You know, it's pulling us away. You can see it in the streets all the time. People are desperately ill. It's become now it's become normal to have ailments and just go and take a pill to suppress the symptoms.
Yeah.
Where if you look on MeatRx, you know, you regain your own health, because as far as I'm concerned, this is just common sense to me, but maybe I'm wrong. We're a species. You know, people have gotten used to the saying things like, oh, everybody's different, not in your intestinal tracts, etc. You've got different preferences and such, but we're a species, and no other species is rocking around fat and ill. You know, they have a natural diet. Allegedly, when they first took elephants into the circus, they fed them whatever and they lived 7 years. And it wasn't a very good investment. Then they went, oh, what's their natural diet? And it was a shit ton of foliage. I forget the exact figure. And they lived for 70 years, you know. We're being made ill. And these people that were alluded to through the banking structure, through the pharmaceutical industry, through modern medicine, which was founded by the Rockefellers. You swap Rockefeller back then for Bill Gates now. You know, they founded the World Health Organization. It's the it seems to be the same trick being played again. It's a rinse and repeat. You know, and they yes. back then, I don't even understand rationing during the war, quite frankly, James, because if you're about to start a battle, we weren't importing food from around the world back then. We didn't have supermarkets. It was farms. The last thing you do is shut down your food production. So that rationing's never made sense to me either. Suddenly there's rationing and then tin food and then the gradual progression towards processed food and stuff, you know. And then we're going off of the meat. It's apparently it's bad for us. Cholesterol's demonized. Then everyone's getting ill. You only have to walk down the high street. And I sometimes I play spot the healthy person and I forget I'm playing. I really, really do. You know, I feel bad. I'm not saying this, it's funny, but I don't want to mock them. I want to wake them up.
No, it's because true.
I'm trying not to swear, but we're chuffing screwed if we don't face this overriding problem, in yes. my opinion, from a perspective.
Yes.
We're screwed.
Yeah, you're right. I think for a lot of people, you will sound like a dinosaur because you are so old school. But I mean, I'm the same generation as you. I was out on the campaign trail with Lawrence Fox the other day, you know, who's campaigning to be mayor of London.
I know of him, yeah. I don't keep up with the mainstream, but I quite like what he's been doing, the little bit.
But news has travelled down to Brighton. he's not into this woke stuff. But I remember I saw these schoolboys walking past and, you know, they were wearing they're still wearing blazers. And one of the boys had long hair, girly hair, and lipstick. And I was thinking, what a weird cultural development where yeah. boys at school, you know, and you can see, I mean, maybe he was gay or maybe maybe he was a poser. I mean, if you're a poser, mm. you'd be doing that too, wouldn't you? If you could get away with it, you'll do what you can.
I guess, yeah.
To push the rules. And here he is, you know, they've probably got some kind of transgender non-judgmental policy, which has been kind of forced on them by teachers. But it's cumulative.
It'll at least be being encouraged, James, isn't it? At least be being encouraged.
Very much. And it's quite interesting what you were saying about the meat thing, because I've noticed that different people have got into this in different ways. So Ivor Cummins, who is another, you know, massive COVID skeptic, whatever you want to call him, came in through the meat. The meat route. I don't know whether you follow him on Twitter. He's very.
Oh, okay. I've seen his name on YouTube, and I'm unfamiliar though. But I've heard good things about him. Everyone's no, he's, got he's, good he's, words
he's,
to say.
He's very good. But so I smelt a rat because I started digging into the climate scam. You know, I sort of.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I watched something about you the other day. Actually,
I
bollocks.
I wondered for many years why it was that. I started. You see, we all have our entry point. Mine was looking at wind turbines and thinking how incredibly bloody ugly they are, and just sort of thinking what is, because environmentalism seemed to come from nowhere, or rather, at least, I mean, obviously it was around in the 1970s, but it seemed to reach a sort of new pitch a decade or so ago, and I was puzzled by this, and I bought a book by Bjorn Lomborg called The Skeptical Environmentalist, which, and he was a lefty kind of Greenpeace Dane professor of statistics, I think, at, you know, at some Danish university, and he started quoting these sources, which demonstrated that everything we knew about environmentalism, everything that we thought we knew, wasn't true. And I think people in different fields are discovering this, that everything that they've been told by the official narrative doesn't stack up. And so...
No, it's almost the opposite of the truth, isn't it, every time?
But you see, that's why I was trying to get you on what it was that... Because you said you were shown that video when you were in Iraq, but there must have been other things that you need kind of personal experience of things to make them to validate these videos, don't they? So I was wondering whether you saw anything in Iraq that made you.
Only the fact that there was connections to all the politicians for the companies that were, I like Halliburton, for example. I forget the director's name at the time, but he was a renowned politician. And it was like, suddenly they were all connected to the companies that are profiting from the so-called reconstruction effort. It's meant to be a liberation. And suddenly Halliburton, and I wish I could remember his name off the top of my head, you know, and it was like, hang on a minute, this doesn't ring true. And prior to that movie watching moment, I was into health and fitness and staying in shape. And I was starting to, I discovered Dr. Mercola and the health ranger, Mike Adams, who's a bit off the rails now, but he's still, in terms of health and that, they were describing all the crap that was in the food. And it was like, this isn't there by accident. You know, it was like, it's not there by accident. So it was, I was starting to read labels and all sorts of, I was starting to question a lot, you know? And so that was that personal experience for there. So, and I seem to, prior to that, I don't know, but now I've become allergic to bullshit. I'm quite literally allergic to it. So if I hear something, I'll dig into it, you know? And if it turns out to be true, then it's true, whatever, no big deal.
No,
but, you know, it just...
The food thing is definitely a red flag. I mean, it's always puzzled me that somebody
they make
like
a profit out of our illness, James, don't they? You know, and they're very clever at what they do. They're absolute genius. I mean, yeah, the biggest thing I disagree with David Icke about is even for me. Never mind the lizards or whatever. Never mind your perspective on that. He says that these people, the entities or whatever's in charge, you give them a blank sheet of paper and they wouldn't know what to put on it. Look how convoluted and complicated this whole scam system of the world is. It's like there's a highly intelligent mind behind whatever's going on here. You know, it's absolutely crazy. There's nothing that doesn't seem to be detrimental to humanity, quite frankly. You know, so it makes you wonder what's at the top of this. Are they humans really? I don't know. I really don't know. And for me, it's one of those slip roads that you can go down and argue with each other to death. For me, it's irrelevant. Unless we expose the banking structure, the criminals that are running this, then we're never going to get to the truth of anything, quite frankly.
I'm sort of quite pessimistic on that front. But I mean, so
not so much. I actually see victory, James. I really do. I do, because I don't know how deep you've gone down the rabbit hole of the nature of reality and such, but apparently what appears to me, you become what you think about, you manifest your own world based upon your thoughts and your actions. And unfortunately, this collective shit show we have is an example of humanity's current collective level of awareness. Now, I say if we up our game with the fact that was what's really going on, the problem, like I said earlier, if you don't know what the problem is, you don't know what the solution is. So let's focus people's attention on revealing the problem, and then collectively we can reveal the solutions. And I think that the solutions are lined up in place. You know, I've described the problem of the banking system. Now we've got cryptocurrencies, decentralized systems that people, to some extent, aren't able to touch, though there are problems with Bitcoin. I talked about in my last video. You know, these systems are in place. There are privacy coins that can replace your surveillance coin, which is every other coin which isn't privacy one. We can get into that if you like. And there's decentralized platforms for video sharing now, right? I don't know how Zoom just coincidentally came about when the scamdemic started, but you've got platforms like Library and Odyssey, which are based on the blockchain. You get if you post your videos on Library or Odyssey, you get rewarded in cryptocurrency.
I know. I tried posting to Odyssey the other day, and I can't quite fathom their crypto system.
I wish I could help you, but most of the
I've gathered your rubbish as well. I know, it's really,
yeah, I am there. Yeah, I was very good at learning, but once Janet understood what it was I was teaching and that she's much better on computers, I was so happy to pop a smoke and just get out of there, you know, that I'd become a bit of a moron again, though it was me that did all the learning initially. But now, yeah, I regret it to some extent, I must admit, because now it would take me a long time to pull the trigger to buy some crypto if I thought it was about to go up. I'd be like, oh, Janet.
We can't be good at everything. So you haven't got, you've not got any crypto, or you have, you must have.
Yeah, I've been subscribing to, I'd advise anybody. I'm not a financial advisor, clearly, or whatever, but the Crypto Vigilante and the Dollar Vigilante, it's a company run by Jeff Berwick. Yeah, I've subscribed to him for years, mate. They recommended Bitcoin at $3, Ethereum at $2. Ethereum's now over 3,000. They recommended Pirate Chain, privacy-centered coin, so they can't be surveilled, it can't be tracked by the government, because they're already employing chain analysis firms to look at the Every transaction on the blockchain can be seen by a Chainalysis firm, because Bitcoin is an open source public ledger. Anyone with the means and the ability can look at every transaction that's ever happened throughout history. Now, if you were to buy a car from me and I paid you, I bought a car from you and I paid you in Bitcoin, these Chainalysis firms, in their infinite wisdom, and that doesn't mean it has to be true, but they can say that, oh, that Bitcoin that you got was used in a drug deal back in 2015. So therefore, they can then take your coin. So it's not the solution, but it is a solution or a stepping stone to them. Privacy coins means that they cannot see anything. They can't see what you transact. They can't see your wallet. And it's a truly private, decentralized digital cash. And if we're going to go up against this BIRMOF, which is the central banking system, we're going to need funds. We're going to need the ability to transact.
Well, I agree.
They're going to shut. And I think that's one of the other platforms. They're kind of being lined up, but most people don't understand one aspect of it, never mind the fact that they're all coalescing. And that's why I see victory, quite frankly. I really, really do. It's going to be ugly.
Well, yeah. Well, you can tell me about that in a moment. But lots of people are getting very excited about cryptos, aren't they, and pinning their hopes. And we've seen the market cap of the crypto firms is just in crypto currencies is enormous.
It's gone crazy.
It has gone absolutely crazy. I think Ethereum has put on a lot more than Bitcoin, and some of the
percentage terms recently, fantastic, but it seems like they're pumping them a little bit, quite frankly. But
well, they are. I mean, it's like the
for me
West.
Though, the crypto space is it's a perfect example of the hyperinflation that would have already hit, in my opinion, if it wasn't for the fact that they own the mainstream media. And it doesn't matter what's really going on; they can say through the media that everything's fine. Because right now, for example, apparently we're in the middle of an economic boom, according to the mainstream narrative in America, etc. There is no economy; they've shut down the real economy. But because they own the media, they can say that the economy is doing well. And when they say the economy, they mean the stock markets. And the stock markets are doing well because guess what? They're printing trillions of dollars, billions and trillions, and they're pumping it into the things that they require for after their great reset. And we better pay attention, otherwise they're going to get it.
Yeah.
And now, from what I was going to that point, the crypto, Bitcoin in particular, is a perfect example of it's hyperinflating against the dollar. Or against any other currency, but you know, it's just being touted as it's just this thing. It's just this thing to invest in, but it's a lot more than that. It's one of the only things they can't control, because they control the gold and silver markets, which is where the hyperinflation would be materializing now if it wasn't for the fact that the tail wags the dog. The derivative, the paper asset, dictates the price of the hard asset, which is the absolute opposite of how it works in every other way, shape or form in the financial world. You know, the hard asset dictates the price, but they have a paper market on the COMEX, the commodities exchange. It's ran by all the hedge funds and the central banks and the big players, the JP Morgans, etc. And they can control the price through the issuance of contracts going short or long, and they can control them with limitless amounts of paper ounces of the physical metal. And that's how they control the price there. Right now, silver is just languishing at $26. $26. It was $50 in 1980.
There is talk, isn't there, that one day it will decouple that physical, genuine physical gold.
I think so, but that's part of it for me is that's when we're starting to win, because when they've got control over the prices, silver and gold, we could be in a hyperinflation. Unfortunately, most people are so ignorant of how the world works that all the media would have to do is give a reason that silver's not going up. I mean, apparently it might cause COVID. I don't know. You know, they could literally say that through the media and most people would buy it. They really, really would. So my concern about gold and silver is the ultimate safe haven is only if they are still in charge, only if they allow it. So for me, it will be an ultimate safe haven if they're no longer in charge. And that's why I see victory. I'm only going to manifest the reality of a victory and the reality of what they're doing so we can focus on it and beat it. Because there is no victory unless we wipe them off the board, James. I look at it this way. They could come out tomorrow morning. Every single leader could come out and go, do you know what? Let's just open up and see how it goes. And, you know, if these people are still in charge in the background, the beat goes on and they'll think of someone else and we'll never get rid of them. It's time to face the music.
So how do you see it playing out? Give me some predictions.
Well, I haven't thought about that, James. That's a tough one. Again, it has to be organic, mate. It has to be people actually acknowledging the fact that this is going on. And there's some brilliant commentators out there that If it's an economist, for example, if they're American-based, they'll be America-centric. They'll only ever talk about America and the Federal Reserve. These people have to, the people with influence, with real influence in the media, in YouTube or wherever, they have to raise their game to the knowledge of how this is really working. And then they've got the influence to influence the people that listen to them. I'm heavily shadow banned, and who's going to listen to an ex-bodyguard guy who drives a bloody cab at the moment? It doesn't matter how eloquent and articulate and how much I can freestyle it. The people that with the influence need to accept the fact that this is going on and stop talking about whether it's Trump or Biden, because that's the dog and pony show. Boris Johnson, as if he's in charge, it's ludicrous. Matt Hancock's making these decisions. It's absolute poppycock. And it, Trump, Biden, Biden's practically delirious. He's demented. They can't even put him in front of a camera. He's so such a loon. You know, it's a dog and pony show. If it's not apparent now, I don't know when it's going to be apparent. So that's the way I see it transpiring. We have to face this music. And then we can come up with solutions as free human beings.
Yeah.
What they are, I could only speculate.
Right. Yes. Yeah, I wish I could share your sunny optimism. Do you
we're screwed if it's not.
Do you talk to your passengers about this? I mean, do you buttonhole
sometimes,
them?
James?
And how does that go down?
I had to stop because I nearly lost my job. You know, when this first scandemic first started, I didn't realize how brainwashed and dumb people were. If there's one thing I've underestimated my whole life, it's people's stupidity, and I'm still doing it now. You know, I'll be like, they get in the car with a mask, and I'll be instantly, oh, James, you don't have to wear that mask. Hypoxia, hypercapnia, you're rebreathing in this. Yeah, and then they'll be straight on the social credit system, and I'll be getting a 1 out of 5, and they'll be reporting me to Uber for having a verbal altercation. It's really gotten that bad. So I've had to really pick my battles now. You know, if someone gets in the car and they're masked up and they crack the window and apply some poisonous shite to their hands, I'm not talking to them. There's literally no point. You know,
no,
if you bought
no
the narrative,
point.
That there's no point. If they've got their own mind to an extent that they're prepared to at least take the chuffing face nappy off and have a conversation, then I might try. You know, but I've learned to not be so aggressive, mate, because I was going at them initially and I've had to temper my delivery somewhat. You know?
Well, that's the thing. That's what I was saying at the beginning about, you know, you come across as quite intense, and I think that people, you know, you've got to be subtle with people.
Oh, I'm talking to you now though, James, you know, and
well,
I've watched
you
some
are.
Of your stuff.
I'm not
going to say anything that you can't counter.
No, you're talking to me, but you're also talking to loads of people on the internet. And
true, but the truth is still the truth for me. It's, you either face it or you don't. If they don't want to face it, then we'll have to find the ones that do, because it is what's going on. I wish it wasn't, really do. I got kids just like you, mate. I've got 16 and 14 year old boys. And
do you have to wear a mask when you're driving? I mean, is that one of the requirements, or can you get away with it?
Yeah, it's the most emasculating thing I've ever done in my life. It's the only time I have to take a picture of myself before I go online. Otherwise I can't access the app. So I have to pick, and I try almost every time to see if the person's open-minded enough to not do it. But vast majority of the times, half and half at least, the people won't even get in my car. So I can't even earn any money unless I play this game. Never worn one in a shop. Never worn hand sanitizer. I'll take on all kinds of. I had an incident yesterday in a shop. But unfortunately, while I've still got to earn this fiat currency that the government decree is legal tender, and apparently I've got to do this for now, and I don't like it.
So just run that by me again. So you've got to take a photograph of your
masked up face before I can access the app. Before I go online.
Every day, because I don't know how it works with
every day before I go online. Yeah, not before every journey and stuff. So I'm not wearing it between customers, and I'm trying my best to not wear it when I get the passengers, because hopefully they've got an open mind, which is around about 50-50. You know, but I've got the most feeble mask in the world. My missus made it for me out of an old shirt. So it's just some thin bit of cotton, because I don't want to restrict my breathing. It's just a thing like it is in general, actually. It's bullshit, isn't it? So I do my bit of bullshit just to earn. Unfortunately, I have to earn this money right now because I'm not spending my cryptos or my gold and silver. Not that I've got any, of course. But, you know, it's like I'm not going there because Gresham's law in economics is good money drives out bad. So I'll be spending the bad and keeping the good.
Yeah, sure. So you have to upload a photograph of yourself with the mask just to be able to get get work. And that is that requirement from Uber or what?
Uber, yeah. Well, that's for me, that's the way these central banks, they own all these corporations. So they're able to roll out their fascistic state or the communistic state via the private corporations whilst distancing themselves through it, through the government that they also control. They can say, oh, the government, they can get one of their sock puppets to stand up and say, well, it's up to the private businesses what they do. But the private business is owned by the same criminal cartel that runs the government. So unless you're aware of this, it just looks like, oh, it's just the wheels in motion going about. But once you raise your gaze about who really runs the world, the central banks own the government, they own Silicon Valley, they own Uber, and they own all the decision-making processes that go into all of that, but and they own the media so they can propagate it in whichever way they wish. So it all looks kind of legit if you don't know what I've discovered and you don't want to sound crazy like I will sound to most people. But I'm not struggling for these words. I'm not making this up. This is what I've discovered, and I can articulate it in a format that hopefully will get through to some people, so more people will pay attention.
And so what you reckon about 50% of your of your
I might be being generous on the side customers, that, James, to be honest. It's difficult because if someone gets in there, a lot of people will wear the mask anyway, and you know, that I'll tell you what, most people don't want they, it's bizarre, mate. It doesn't make sense. You know, someone could get in the car and I'm like, do you really want to do this, mate? Or do you want to breathe and relax? And they're like, oh, it's okay. I've had the vax. And I'm like thinking, but it doesn't create immunity. It doesn't stop transmission. And you're still wearing a mask. Yet in their minds, I don't know. It's like some cognitive dissonance on steroids, you know? Because you got other people that just so scared that they just want to keep it on in case they get in trouble, even though they don't believe it. It's a strange environment, mate. It really is.
Because back in the day, you'll remember this, the breakthrough moment on a cab journey would be whether he let you open the window so he could have a fag in the back of his cab. I mean, cause it's almost unbelievable that such a world should ever have existed.
Andy, you imagine 10, 20 years ago where you rang up the taxi company because you didn't quite like the cut of the driver's jib. And that's what they get to do now through the app, you know? It's crazy. They don't like an opinion I've got. As far as I'm concerned, you get in my car, James, or anybody else, I don't have to like you. I can even dislike you and you still get a five. It's none of my business, mate, what you're like. I don't know what sort of day you've had. You might have lost, your dog might have died. You might have lost your mum. I really don't know. It's not for me to judge. But the new generation of the woke mentality, they're being encouraged to judge throughout their life in this fashion. So they can't wait, mate. They literally can't wait. I mean, I'm not bleating about this. It's just a pathetic example. No, it's just... three girls got... I let one of them sit in the front. We had a right laugh. We literally had a laugh on the way. One of them said, can you put the radio on? I want some music. So I put the radio on. It's the only people that listen to music that day. I got out of the car and then someone had given me a four for my choice of music. It's the chaffing radio. You know, it's like, did you want me to call up the DJ and ask him to put in a request for you or something? But that's how entitled this new generation is. Not only can they get a cab for chump change, and let's face it, Uber's chump change. Never mind what before they take their 25%. Now everyone's entitled to it and they get to judge me and they get to report me. I was off the road for a week once because someone said I might have had a drink. I've been on the road for 2 hours, mate. I hadn't had a drink. I lost a week's work over Gay Pride Week because I'm guilty until proven innocent. Well, they just left it a week and then said, okay, if it happens again, I'm like, if what happens again? I didn't do anything. You know, but that's the way this new, the way I look at it, Uber are a global cabal level company. So they're just doing their part to implement the new social credit system where everyone's quite comfortable to judge everybody else, a la that episode of Black Mirror. You know, there's one where they're going around and everything's about the social credit system. There's a scene in it, if you've seen it or you're not, this woman goes up to a guy in a little booth and he has an exchange. And as she walks away, he gives her a shit score. And she turns around, and this hit me like a right-hander at the time. And he says, it wasn't a meaningful encounter. And that's what these new woke mentalities like, you know? Yeah. It's meant to be a meaningful encounter, apparently. It's like, did I pick you up at A and take you to B? Yeah. And what's your chuffing problem, mate? You know? But it's social engineering for me, James. It's not an accident. When you learn that the banking system runs this entire shit show, they own the world, to me, can be analogously described as a giant casino. It's just a giant casino. They own every game in town. And when they want to call in their chips, they will. and they're doing it right now. They're wiping out the middle class. They want a Hunger Games society, so they want to make sure they're going to drag this out as long as they can to wipe out small businesses or anyone with a reasonable job that can fend for themselves and make decisions for themselves, because they want to roll out the social credit system, universal basic income. I suspect that when it's the worst possible time for humanity, they'll ramp up the hyperinflation bar as well and crank it up to full vault. And then through the media that they're on, it'll all get blamed on, you guessed it, on coronavirus, which is a scam and a sham.
No, I agree. Well, you know what I've got to do now? I've just spent, and this is just like, I think, symptomatic of our times. I've spent pretty much the whole day trying to fill out forms to get sort of American tax forms so I can get my Subscribestar, you know, Subscribestar, it's like Patreon, but slightly different, to get them to pay me. And it's just like the hoops that you have to jump through to get your own money. It's so unpleasant.
Yeah.
It's
unbelievable.
It's making my head explode. And it literally has taken the rest of the day.
If that was the crypto-centric world, if you and I wanted to conduct business, we wouldn't need a third party. They call it trustless because you don't have to trust anybody. It's an algorithm. It's up to you what you send me, and it's up to me what I send you.
Yeah.
Excuse me. No third party interference.
In the same way, whenever I've got some, if I want to send a large sum of money for, you know, perfectly legitimate reasons to somewhere,
which you shouldn't have to justify, by the way, you have to
wait for your call from the bank, and they ask you what the money's for, and they pretend that it's about looking after you and looking and checking that you haven't been brought defrauded.
Always about safety.
It's the whole time you're made aware that only on sufferance are you allowed your own money. It's
own money, yeah.
Yeah, it's become...
Well, most people don't understand that when you actually put your money in the bank, it becomes their money. You become an unsecured creditor. So you're the last person that gets paid out. And if there's a financial crisis or a bail-in, like in, was it Cyprus?
Cyprus.
The bail-in, they did a so-called haircut, which is basically just a euphemism for theft. They stole people's money. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've already got the legislation in place that they can do a bail-in again when these banks get in trouble. And they're not in trouble, but because they make money out of nothing. But they'll tell us through the media that they're in trouble and they need to save them somehow, you know, because they're the last. They'll never take a hit unless we expose them. They never get hurt, James. Mm. They never get hurt. Absolutely ever.
No.
Right? It needs to be revealed how the system works. Otherwise, it will continue.
Well, Donny, I wish you great luck on your mission to help educate people, and although it sounds like it's when you're driving a cab, it sounds like it's career death. You just gonna
I've given up in there, mate. I've given up. I'll do it in my videos and I'll do my best elsewhere, and hopefully people will watch and then the penny will drop and they might want to know more, you know, because this isn't the gist of my knowledge and my knowledge on how the system is corrupt. So I can go on, you know, and it's going to go on because I've risked my life for pieces of paper before, you know. So, and I've got two teenage sons. I'm not backing down from this. This is a hill I'm prepared to die on. We'll see where it goes.
Well, the best of luck. And thanks very much for appearing on the podcast. It just remains to remind wonderful listeners, do please support me on Patreon or Subscribestar or PayPal, which you can reach via my website, which is dellingpoleworld.com. You can check out Donny's channel on YouTube. That hasn't been cancelled yet, has it, Donny?
No, they've suppressed me so much that it's not worth it. I don't have enough people subbing, but as soon as that happens, I'm sure it will.
Well, that's what
but
they
yeah, did. Yeah, it's Donny Wasman.
Donny Wasman.
Yeah, Donny Wasman on YouTube, Library, Odyssey, BitChute, brand YouTube. And if anyone wants to email me to organise something, it's donnywasman@protonmail.com.
Great. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
All right. Nice. Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.